This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Takeaways from the debate last night. We have impeachment beginnings today. Megyn Kelly joins us. We have a great show tonight on I'm Right. Okay, let's get it out of the way. We're going to get to the impeachment stuff. Megyn Kelly's going to join us here in a couple minutes. We have a huge show for you tonight on I'm Right. And because you're a political nerd, and I'm a political nerd, you watched at least part of the GOP debate last night. Even if you just caught the highlights today, that counts. You watched the GOP debate last night. Now, before we get into all the specifics of the GOP and the debate and the moderators and this and that, let's just talk about a hard truth right off the bat here. Here's the state of the GOP primary. It's not complicated. That debate last night only mattered for Ron DeSantis because Ron DeSantis is the only one with a prayer at coming back to defeat Donald Trump in a primary, and that prayer is a long one. Right now, Donald Trump is in the driver's seat, and it's going to take a long, well-fought, well-funded campaign by only Ron DeSantis to defeat him if he's going to be defeated. So the point of having a debate with all these losers on the stage, as far as the GOP primary goes, it's kind of pointless. None of these people are going to do anything, but political nerds like you and me, we watch and we analyze and we can take some things away from it. One of the things it's impossible to avoid is this Russia-Ukraine thing. And here's what happens. And I am someone, I should tell you this right now. I have lived in Washington, D.C. only for a year, so don't judge me. But when I got done losing two congressional races, not to brag, I moved to D.C. because I wanted to stay in politics for a year. So I got to know D.C. and got to know people and the area. And to say D.C. is out of touch, it undersells just how separated they are from you and from me, which I find so weird because the people who are there, the elected representatives at least, the House, the Senate, they do leave D.C. often and they will go back home. And the good ones, the smart ones, will go back home and they will talk to normal people so they can figure out what people care about, what's on their mind. The Russia-Ukraine thing I find to be so fascinating. Not just the conflict itself, and I'm not even emotionally invested, really, one side or the other, I don't really care. I find it to be so fascinating because it has put on display for all of America how separate both political parties are from what we care about, from what we talk about. It's mind-bending to watch Democrats and Republicans at the top talk endlessly about Russia, Ukraine, this, and Russia, Ukraine, that. I don't know about you. I hang out with normal people. I don't hang out with political people or media people when I'm not on the air. I hang out with normal people. I've not had a single conversation, not one, about Russia-Ukraine. It never comes up, ever. People will talk border and taxes and scandals and this and that. Russia-Ukraine never comes up. Yet, these Republicans, they can't help themselves.
And 90% of the resources that we send over to Ukraine is guaranteed. It's a loan. It is not 90% of the money that we send over there is loan. Well, we can talk about this, but at the end of the day, 90% of the money that we send over there is actually in the form of a loan. It's not actually not be paid by Ukraine. It's paid by the NATO, our NATO allies.
It's a loan. No, it's okay. It's just a loan. Well, we're not going to get paid back. Well, it's fine. It's all fine. This is the current state of the people trying to be your next president, trying to be your next nominee for president. It is wild to watch it. They are so out of touch that out of touch doesn't describe it. It kills me. It shows you how far rotted we are as a late-stage republic. And you know what? I think I would rather send more money to Ukraine than watch these politicians make jokes. And before I go to the attempt at jokes, there's something about being funny, a sense of humor. Some people have it, and some people do not. And if you're one of those people who doesn't have it, you should know that a lot of this is just God-given, right? Some people are just funny, and they get jokes, and they make jokes, and they have good timing, and some people are not. And that doesn't make you a bad person or a stupid person or anything like that, but it does mean this. There's this old saying, know thyself, know thyself. If you're somebody who's not great at jokes, don't make jokes. So if you're Chris Christie, and you're prepping some one-liners, some big scary ones for Donald Trump at the debate, don't do this.
And I want to look in that camera right now and tell you, Donald, I know you're watching. You can't help yourself. I know you're watching, okay? And you're not here tonight, not because of polls and not because of your indictments. You're not here tonight because you're afraid of being on the stage and defending your record. You're ducking these things. And let me tell you what's going to happen. You keep doing that, no one up here is going to call you Donald Trump anymore. We're going to call you Donald Duck.
It's really bad. But all of that paled in comparison to Fox News partnering with Univision, left-wing rag Univision, for the debate. And of course, because they partnered with Univision for the debate, they had to bring out this lady, Ilia Calderon, and she got, well, I mean, these were the questions asked at the Republican debate.
Mental health concerns are not unique to the United States, but gun violence is. The Department of Homeland Security warns that violence against LGBTQ plus people is on the rise and intensifying. According to a recent study, members of that community are 9 times more likely to be victims of violent hate crimes. As president, how would you protect this community from violent attacks and discrimination? Florida's new Black History curriculum says, quote, slaves develop skills which in some instances could be applied for their personal benefit. You have said slaves develop skills in spite of slavery, not because of it. But many are still hurt. For descendants of slaves, this is personal. What is your message to them?
So first of all, that's a hoax that was perpetrated by Kamala Harris.
This is why the communists have won to this point and why we have lost. This is exactly why. This is why they've taken over every cultural institution and we whine about hypocrisy every day. Because we will have a debate with our candidates on the stage, ready to present them in the most appealing light to the American people in the interest of winning an election. And Republicans will actually take somebody who's entirely hostile to these candidates and their views and bring this person in and put them on the forefront and allow this person to interrogate candidates in a way that will make them look bad on national television. You would never see a Democrat do that in a million years. In a million years. They wouldn't. It would be like Democrat. I want you to picture this moment. I want you to picture Joe Biden drops out, and now there's a big Democrat debate for president, and Gavin Newsom's running against Dome, and she's running against Elizabeth Warren, and Bernie Sanders gets in there. And I want you to picture there's a big debate on NBC, and they announce they're partnering with the First TV, and they're bringing in me, Jesse Kelly, to ask all the Democrat candidates a question on the stage. It would be that ridiculous to bring in that hag. But of course, peak GOP. And then we have this doozy from Dana Perino.
Which one of you on stage tonight should be voted off the island? Please use your marker to write your choice on the notepad in front of you. 15 seconds starting now. Of the people on the stage, who should be?
I'm absolutely serious. With all due respect, wow. I mean, we're here. Like, well, you know, we're happy to debate. But I think that that's disrespectful to my fellow competitors.
Nobody wants to participate.
Let's do some questions. Let's talk about the future of the country.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it went. Joining me now, journalist, host of the Great Megyn Kelly Show, which you can listen to and watch on SiriusXM Triumph Channel 111 every weekday at noon Eastern. And obviously you watch her on YouTube.com/Megyn Kelly. Okay, Megyn, I've never hosted a debate. So unsurprisingly, nobody's ever asked me to do so. But you have. Dana Perino has an excellent reputation, so I'm not going to dog on her. But that was bad. Dana, it was Megyn, that's the worst question I've ever heard at a debate, and maybe the lighting was worse than the questions. How did that happen?
That was an embarrassment. I'm embarrassed for her.
Okay, good.
I don't know how she did it. I don't know how she... she definitely wrote it and then delivered it and actually thought it would be
Hold on. I'm sorry to interrupt. She wrote it. I was at least giving her an out this morning. I woke up and talked to the wife. I said, someone else wrote that for her. She didn't write that.
I mean, I can't imagine that they've changed the debate prep that dramatically since I left Fox. We wrote our own questions. And then, but then, you know, they go through scrutiny. A debate question goes through layers of scrutiny where you sit with the debate team, you read it in front of your fellow anchors. The executive management team of the debate would hear it. They'd offer tweaks. I mean, this whole thing was planned. Somebody actually went and put the little note cards on the lecterns, Jesse. Like, if they were planned, she's like, there's paper there, as if they were actually going to do it. I mean, this is, you know, somebody told me very early in my career at Fox News, humor is risky on the air. I did it anyway because I do think I'm kind of funny. It depends on the moment, but so I can be funny. Not everybody can, and certainly not at a presidential debate. And it just, it didn't land. It was awkward. You had Nikki Haley saying, are you serious? And Ron DeSantis had his best moment of the night where he was like, it's a no.
Okay, we'll actually get to the individual candidates and their performances in a moment. But I have to ask you, Megyn, you are a professional and a journalist and a woman, and I'm none of those three things. The lighting, I've tried to explain to people who don't do this, because I've only been doing this for 5 years or so, how important lighting is. And I try to explain, you know, to the wife, hey, that woman you see on the news doesn't actually look that good. The lighting is perfect. Everything is perfect. And when it's bad, it's really bad. Megyn, they looked like zombies last night.
It really irritated me. I tweeted this out, and somebody online who I follow was like, all right, we're not talking about the lighting enough. I'm like, okay, spoken like somebody who's never worked in television. The lighting matters. The lighting can make you look old. It can make you look tired. It can make you look young and more vibrant. It can make you look sweaty or hide sweatiness. It does matter. And this is why when you sit with President Trump, and I've sat with him a bunch of times for one-on-one interviews, you know, before and after his presidency, the first thing he does when he sits down is he checks his lighting, and he wants to see himself on cam because he's a TV guy. He knows it matters. And the lighting at the first Fox News debate and at this one was dreadful. They looked gray. And Mike Pence looked so old. I've never seen him look that old. Ron DeSantis was sweating. He looked like he was sweating like in church. He got mocked by some Trump fans who saw them powdering him during the break. No, that's what we do in television. We powder all of them. Nobody wants to look at somebody flop sweating on the stage, but that's the responsibility of the news channel. And people should be lit so that doesn't glow the way. I mean, sitting here on this set right here, Jesse, I've got two lights up there and I have an eye light down here. And the eye light, come over here, Abs. Come over here. Abby, my assistant's here. Just put your arm in front of that eye light so people can see the difference. No, block it so people can see it. Yeah. So it goes just a little bit lower. You get a little bit more shadow under your face. All right, now get out of here. Yeah. Anyway, it's just a little brighter when the eye light comes back. These little things matter. And at this level, when you're spending, what, $4 million to put on a debate, you shouldn't have to think about it. It should be absolutely perfect.
Yeah, and I'll just do this as a side note for people maybe rolling their eyes at Megan and I talking about the lighting. The public's interpretation, impression, I should say, of these candidates, it actually does matter a lot. People say it's still a factor to this day between the JFK and Richard Nixon debate, because JFK is up there looking young and vibrant and good looking, and Richard Nixon looked like he wanted to eat somebody. So that was the difference in that. All right, Megan, let's move on to this current debate. Who, look, we're not going to do the winners and losers. Who had a good night? Who had a bad one?
Well, there's no question Ron DeSantis had a good night and is getting better at this. Yeah. He improved from the first debate. He seems to be getting a little bit more comfortable. And his sort of probably pre-rehearsed little bits, whether it was on crime or his record in Florida, landed. He's getting more effective at delivering them. I liked this Vivek. You and I have had plenty of criticism of Vivek. I liked this Vivek more than I liked the Vivek of debate number one, but he's struggling with the fact that it was a 180 changed in personality. So, you know, you're a little like, well, which one is the real Vivek? The mean snarky one who thinks he's the most courageous guy on stage and the smartest man there, or the more humble one who doesn't think we should be insulting each other now. So that was, I don't know, I give him sort of like a pass. Nikki Haley went from having a strong debate where she seemed like fierce to, I think, seeming rude and too aggressive and a little like petty. And Tim Scott went from being a potted plant in the first debate to clearly somebody had like zapped him with, you know, an electric sort of prod. And he couldn't stop himself from interrupting and being kind of annoying. And he crossed over into not a potted plant, but just like a cactus who was very prickly and kind of irritating.
Yeah, you can always tell the candidates who have ears that are way too big because they overcorrect from the first debate and they do the exact opposite to an extreme in the second debate. You know, I wanted to ask you about Nikki Haley because this is a conversation I was having with a friend. Now, I'm not a fan. Full disclosure, everyone knows that I'm not a fan, but we're setting that aside for the time being. She came off last night as nasty. She really came off as nasty. And I kept seeing people say, man, she comes off as petty and nasty. I mean, you just said it. She came off as petty and nasty. I defended her, which I can't believe of all people I did, by saying it's harder for a woman to assert herself. It just is. Men and women are different. It's easier for a dude to say, this is my stage. Sit there and shut up. When a woman does that, it doesn't come off as well. Am I wrong about that?
I think she could do it. She just has to be a little bit more effective at it. I mean, look at Margaret Thatcher. She could drop a barb like nobody else and just absolutely devastate somebody. So, and she totally got away with it, but it's a matter of style and execution. And I thought Haley did a better job of it the first time around. This time, if you're going to interrupt somebody with a really nasty insult, it's worse because now it's like double rudeness, the interruption with the really nasty insult. I think it would have been better if she hadn't interrupted, let's say, Vivek, and had let him do his whole little bit on TikTok or whatever it was. She didn't need to say, every time I hear you, I get dumber. You know, as we just said, you and I are full of criticisms for Vivek. I'm fine seeing him criticized. It just seemed kind of petty and like small. Like, I don't know. There was probably a better way of landing that insult where it didn't make her look small. The goal should be to make the other guy look small and not yourself. And I don't think she's quite perfected the art.
Yeah, I get they always overcorrect. She tried to do the adult in the room thing the first debate. In this debate, she was a kid in the back shooting spitwads at the teacher. Okay, did Ron DeSantis do enough to put a dent in Trump's lead? That's really the only thing that matters. Look, Vivek and all these other people, they don't matter. Either DeSantis is going to come back and beat Trump or he's not. It looks like a long shot right now. Did he help himself?
No. So the way I see it is, he's not going to beat Trump. No one's going to beat Trump. No one in the history of the Republic has been 40 points ahead and lost the nomination. That's just, let's be real. I understand that DeSantis fans want a different outcome. Let's be real. But this whole process does matter because Donald Trump could be in prison in November of 2024. And we really do need to have our chief alternative. You know, like, you're a sports guy. Like, what do you call that guy who's like on deck? Like the runner-up, I don't know what you call it, but you need the chief alternative to Donald Trump.
On deck. You nailed it, Megan. On deck.
Yeah.
On deck. You nailed it. On deck.
You need somebody on deck. Ron DeSantis was a big baseball star when he was at Yale. He needs to understand he's going to be there with his little hat on swinging the bat, but he's not actually going to be at the plate unless Judge Chutkan in D.C. puts Trump in jail, which she actually might do. It is a realistic possibility. He could be in prison by November 2024. And I know many people believe the Fifth Avenue rule, Donald Trump can withstand anything. No one will ever turn off of him. That'll only turn on his voters more. I do believe him sitting in prison will be a deal breaker for him. I do. I think those suburbanites, especially the women, are not going to vote for somebody who's sitting in prison. That's not going to happen. So I don't know what the party's going to do. This problem would come up prior to November 2024. It would be he gets convicted. He files an appeal. She refuses to stay the punishment pending that appeal. And then the Republican Party is heading into summer 2024 when you have the convention and that whole bit and has to say, oh my God, we actually have to sub him out. Like, oh my God, who is there on deck? None of this is ideal. All of this is a nightmare. I know everybody's like, Trump was up 10 points in the latest poll. This is a nightmare for the Republican Party. They're in a whole ton of trouble.
I'm so glad you're out there, Megan, for a variety of reasons. I've been screaming this at people. Every time I see someone brag about how far up Trump is in the polls and the primary polls and the general election polls, I look at them like they're from another planet. Like, you do understand that he's going to prison, right? That I don't care about. But anyway, Megan, I know you're busy. I'm busy. Thank you so much. You're the best.
It's great to see you, as always, my friend.
You too. All right. First Biden impeachment got rolling. Let's get you all caught up on that. Before we get you caught up on that, let's get caught up on nutrition. Specifically, nutrition for our animals. Because we know about ourselves, right? I got to drink more water. I have to eat more fruits and veggies. Why? Because my body needs vitamins and minerals and omega oils and things like that because I'm a living thing. So why do we think our dogs are exempt from that? Our dogs need nutrition too. And we lie to ourselves. We tell ourselves that nutrition is in the dog food, but dog food's dead. There's no nutrition in it. None. It's all empty calories. The nutrition you will give your dog is with Rough Greens. All natural nutritional supplement. You pour it on your dog's food. You will see a difference in your dog's energy, his coat, his life. Your dog will live longer with Rough Greens. Free Jumpstart trial bags. All you have to do is call them. 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This impeachment inquiry that started today, it is important. Let's talk about it for a minute and why it's actually important. It's not important because it's going to actually remove Joe Biden from office. That's not going to happen. The Senate isn't going to vote to remove, and even if they did, it would just bring in Dome and we don't gain. All right. So it's not important for that reason. It's important that the system loses credibility from here on out. And let me explain, because we have to adjust our thinking in this. You want your country back. I want my country back. Oh, okay, oh, that's good. We only get that country back if normal Americans wake up and realize it's rotted and corrupt and broken and in need of fixing. And normal Americans, they aren't like you where they consume all this information. And they want to find out, okay, what's happening in the news? What are the news scandals? They aren't like you. Normal Americans, for lack of a more delicate way to put it, have to be beaten over the face with this stuff. They have to be shown time and time again, your government is corrupt and illegitimate. Your government is corrupt and illegitimate. Legitimacy, it is what the system needs to keep going. It is what every government in the history of the world has always needed. At some point, you've got to maintain legitimacy or you're going to lose it all. It's important the American people know that Joe Biden is not only a criminal. Okay, there's plenty of criminals. Not that I'm defending criminals, but there's plenty of criminals. Joe Biden is compromised. This is something that I think people seem to miss here. He's compromised because he's a criminal, because foreign agencies, foreign governments know he's a criminal. He cannot possibly make impartial decisions that are best for America because other countries have evidence of crimes he's committed. They have the ability to call and say, hey, Joe, this is the Russians. We have possession of another one of Hunter's laptops. They have one of those. Did you know that? You should see the juicy stuff on here, Joe. Would be a shame if this hit NBC News tonight. The president is compromised. Here's a bit from today.
At least 10 times, Joe Biden lied to the American people that he never spoke to his family about their business dealings. He lied by telling the American people that there was an absolute wall between his official government duties and his personal life. Let's be clear. There was no wall. The door was wide open to those who purchased what a business associate described as the Biden brand. Evidence reveals that then Vice President Joe Biden spoke, dined, and developed relationships with his family's foreign business targets. These business targets include foreign oligarchs who sent millions of dollars to his family. It also includes a Chinese national who wired $250,000 to his son. Joe Biden also lied to the American people about his family making money in China. He continued to lie about it even when the House Oversight Committee uncovered bank wires revealing how the Bidens received millions from Chinese companies with significant ties to Chinese intelligence and the Chinese Communist Party.
That's really bad. And let's talk about that wire transfer he brought up. One of those wire transfers from the Chinese guy to Hunter, $250,000, $250,000. The other one was for 10 grand, but one of them was $250,000. And you have to, even on a wire transfer, you have to list a beneficiary address. And the beneficiary address on Hunter Biden's $250,000 wire transfer from the Chi-Com is Joe Biden's Delaware home. Joe Biden is compromised. It's way more than just Joe Biden making a phone call. This is a criminal who's been running a criminal political influence family for decades. He got up on stage and told you he didn't make any money in China. That was a lie.
My son has not made money in terms of this thing about, what are you talking about, China. I have not had it. The only guy who made money from China is this guy. He's the only one. Nobody else has made money from China.
That was a lie. And that brings us to maybe the most obvious one. And I actually have to give credit to the Bidens, to the Biden administration, because this was a really, really brilliant stroke. Biden's most corrupt act, probably his most nefarious criminal act of all the stuff, the texts and the wire transfers and everything else, his most corrupt act was having a prosecutor, a Ukrainian prosecutor, fired. And before I play the clip that you've seen a thousand times on this show, remember, you have Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden is working for this company called Burisma. All right, this is the Hunter Biden Burisma thing. Burisma is this Ukrainian energy company. They've hired Hunter Biden for over $80,000 a month to sit on their board with no energy experience. Okay, so there's Hunter, there's Burisma. Keep in mind, Burisma is in Ukraine, one of the most corrupt countries in the world, has been for years. So this is a corrupt nation and a corrupt energy company. And you have this prosecutor, this Ukrainian prosecutor. He's investigating Burisma. He's looking into all this stuff. What's going on with this place? Joe Biden had that guy fired and held money over their head to ensure that he was fired. And then, in one of the most brilliant moves I've ever seen, bragged about it on camera.
And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. Said, "Nah," I said, "I'm not going to. We're not going to give you the $1 billion." They said, "You have no authority. You're not the president." The president said, "I said, call him." I said, "I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, "You're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here." And I think it was, what, 6 hours? I looked, I said, "I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money." Well, son of a got fired.
The prosecutor did get fired. Did you know that after all that, Hunter Biden signed off on a memo to the new prosecutor once the old one got dumped? He signed off on a memo to the new one saying, "Hey, drop all this investigation stuff. This is all old news. Look, the FBI tried to cover up these crimes. They took possession of the laptop and they tried to cover up the crimes and prevent an investigation. The IRS tried to cover up Hunter Biden's crimes. But in the end, there were too many crimes. The Republicans took the House of Representatives. And more importantly, according to my theory, Democrats want Joe Biden gone. This impeachment inquiry, it is important. It's important not to remove Joe Biden. It's important so the American people finally wake up. So Norm and Norma finally wake up and realize our government is illegitimate, is so corrupt, we no longer have a legitimate government, including the President of the United States of America. We'll talk to Congressman Mike Johnson about that and other things next. Before we talk to Mike, let's talk about this. We talk about putting our money where our morals are all the time. Put your money where your morals are, which is funny because we don't do that when it comes to our banking. So our actual money doesn't go where our morals are. We all bank with these banks that hate our guts. All our banks have ESG pages. Look up your bank right now. Pick up your phone. Look up your bank in ESG. I bet your bank has an individual ESG page. You know who doesn't have one of those? Old Glory Bank. Ben Carson, John Rich, Larry Elder got together and decided we need a bank that shares our values. That's Old Glory Bank. All 50 states, online, app, whatever you need, it's all available at Old Glory Bank. We can finally take our money out of these garbage banks that hate our guts and put it with people who actually love us. Sign up. OldGloryBank.com. Go sign up for an account today. All right? We'll be back.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is so far from Time Magazine. Biden inquiry may be weakest in history. Oh, yeah. From CNN, the most predictable impeachment investigation in American history. From Reuters, McCarthy opens long-shot impeachment probe of Biden. From MSNBC, McCarthy's Biden impeachment inquiry is the Benghazi investigation on steroids. These headlines are going to increase. We know what's coming. We know that they're working against us, against the American people in this case, and for the White House.
Of course, that's what regime media does. Joining me now, that congressman from the great state of Louisiana, Congressman Mike Johnson. He's on the House Judiciary Committee. All right, Congressman, the Democrats are going to make idiots of themselves trying to fall on that sword. The media is as well. The Senate is not going to convict the man. But you are pursuing just how dirty this person is. How dirty is Joe Biden?
Very dirty. That's what the evidence has shown us thus far. That's why the impeachment inquiry phase is necessary. And by the way, today's hearing was just that, to show that this is indeed a necessary step. Why? Because we have evidence now. We have emails and text messages and bank records, and we have whistleblower testimony from the FBI and the IRS that all point to inescapable facts. And that is that the Biden family was enriched because Joe Biden used his office to do that. At least $24 million over 5 years that we know of so far from foreign adversaries. So it's a very, very important issue, and one that the Constitution requires us to pursue and follow these truths wherever they lead.
Congressman, why are there no Democrats who are concerned? I'm not naive. I understand how party politics work, but there's not one national Democrat who's concerned that the president of the United States of America might very well be compromised by our foreign adversaries. That's not even an extreme statement. The evidence points to the fact he is compromised.
Right. And of course, they politicized the impeachment process with Donald Trump on virtually nothing at all to proceed and go straight into impeachment. We're not doing that. We're the rule of law team. We're for the law and order. We're for the Constitution. And it says very specifically, Article 1, the sole power of impeachment belongs with the House. And Article 2, Section 4 says, a president shall be removed from office for impeachment of conviction for treason, bribery, high crimes, misdemeanors. The things that the evidence is leading us to, the allegations that are very serious and have been made, and the mounting evidence stacking up to show, is the causes that are listed right there in the Constitution. So we have no choice. Why are Democrats ignoring it? Purely for partisan political purposes. They know. They can see this just as we do. Many of them will admit privately behind the scenes here that they know Hunter Biden is corrupt. And they all suspect, as we do, that the president knew exactly what his son was doing because he was engaging in phone calls and having private dinners with the very people that were sending all these checks. It sinks to high heaven. Anybody who looks at it objectively has to acknowledge that, but the Democrats won't because they're fearful of the next election, of course.
Speaking of law and order, here's the Attorney General of the United States of America.
Have you had personal contact with anyone at FBI headquarters about the Hunter Biden investigation?
I don't recollect the answer to that question, but the FBI works for the Justice Department. I'm sorry.
You don't recollect whether you've talked with anybody at FBI headquarters about an investigation of the president's son?
I don't believe that I did.
That sounds like lawyer speak for I absolutely did, but I don't want to perjure myself.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the reason that the House has to be so vigorous in our investigations in this impeachment inquiry process is because Merrick Garland's Department of Justice is not doing its job. In reality, in the real world, what's supposed to happen is the DOJ would be alarmed by all of this corruption and all the evidence that's been uncovered, and they would be doing this job, but they're not. And so we have to. Only 65% of the American people have a favorable view, or 65% of the American people have a negative view of the Department of Justice, and that's because of Merrick Garland. He has led the department into this, you know, two-tiered system of justice and the balances that are weighted. You know, they aggressively prosecute Donald Trump, and they slow walk and give special treatment to Hunter Biden. Everyone can see that. Every American can see it, and Merrick Garland can't give answers for it because there's no way to defend it.
Are we going to see any movement on this shutdown funding thing? Are we heading for a shutdown and that's just the way it's going to be?
Well, the reality is we're running out of time. I am an optimist. I think that there may still be a chance. We have, as you know, four big appropriations bills that will be voted on here in the coming 24 or 48 hours or so, and then there will be an effort of a stopgap measure to try to prevent the government shutdown. I think there's some hope that we can get that done. I certainly hope so. No one here desires a government shutdown. What the Republicans are working for is a change in the way Washington works, and getting back to this regular order process, as messy and as ugly as it is, ultimately is a healthy thing for the Republic. And so that's why we push so hard for it.
Are we going to get anything we want? I don't expect everything I want, but anything we want, or are we going to kick the can down the road again?
Well, look, the Republicans, conservatives here, we're trying to hold the line on spending. We voted on a series of amendments last night, way into the wee hours of the morning, trying to cut as much spending as we can. We have a $33 trillion federal debt. And in spite of all the threats we have on every front now, because we have weakness projected from the White House, the greatest threat to us at the end of the day is our nation's debt. And so we have to get serious about this. You need adults in the room to advance the cutting, the limiting of government, and getting it back down in its size and scope. And that's what these fights are about. They're worthwhile fights. They have to be done. And again, it's messy sometimes, but that's our process. That's how it works.
Well, Congressman, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We have an anniversary to celebrate, a wonderful one. Next, before we get to that anniversary, let's do this. Let's talk a little bit about, well, I have a chart here. This is a chart. The source is the Swiss Federal Customs Administration. And you're not going to be able to read this piece of paper when I hold it up, but I'm going to hold it up anyway. And the headline is, Gold Flows East. See this? I want you to know that these countries, that's China, India, Turkey, on and on down the road, the countries of Asia are hoarding gold right now, buying it up, gobbling it up by the ton. Why do you think they're doing that? They know a financial crisis is coming. They're doing the only thing you can do to protect yourself from it. Things you can touch and feel, precious metals. Oxford Gold will do for you what China's doing right now. They'll deliver gold or silver to your front door. They'll get it in your retirement account, whatever that is, so you don't get wiped out when the bubble pops. But they can't do any of this unless you call them. And I want you to know that they make it easy. They really do. It's laid back and easy. Just call 833-995-GOLD. Tell them Jesse told you to call, all right? 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Communists, what do they thrive on? We've talked about this before. They thrive on two things, because we're celebrating an anniversary today. Communists thrive on two things. What is it? The apathy of norm and norma. The communist needs it. He thrives on that. And the second one is kind of tied into the first one. Deception. Because he needs norm. He needs norma asleep. He needs them thinking everything is fine or okay, or not that bad. And what he really needs from Norm and Norma is he needs them thinking his plans, they're just kind of different. They're not destructive. They're not evil. They're not made to destroy everything. So deception, that's the second thing. That's what the communist does. The communist, he relies on Norm and Norma staying apathetic, and he relies on deception, which is why this is one of my favorite moments in American political history, because education, it is everything to the communist. It is his beating heart. The communist controlling education in this country is the entire source of his power. He is educating generation after generation after generation in America hate and self-hate and family hate and everything else. That is his true strength. And it's starting to leave him. We started to catch on, and people were taking over school boards, and they're taking their kids out of school, and they're doing all these amazing things. Where did all that really truly begin? It all truly began 2 years ago today with Terry McAuliffe.
But I'm not going to let parents come into schools and actually take books out and make their own decision.
You vetoed it.
So, yeah, I stopped the bill that I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
Couldn't help it. He knows he's supposed to lie. He knows. That's the one thing you can't say. Don't get me wrong, they hate parents, and they want to take your children, and they want to bring them into their public schools, government schools, and they want to break them away from you and break them mentally and emotionally. But they don't want you to know. It's really important for you to never know about that. But he got flustered, just had a bad moment in a debate. He just came right out and said it. Oh, I can't have these parents getting involved in schools. That won Glenn Youngkin the governorship of Virginia. It's won many, many, many a school board race across this nation. In fact, this issue itself, it is the winning issue for the right now. The communists hate your children. They're trying to shatter them. They've lied to you about that for ages, and they need you to remain apathetic. But courtesy of people who can't control their mouth like Terry McAuliffe, American parents are waking up to that fact, and that is a beautiful thing. So we want to salute Terry and wish him a very happy anniversary. Now we have a light in the mood next that's wonderful. We have something else that's wonderful. Testosterone. Fellas, you know that you need it, right? Whether you're 15 or 95, you need testosterone, and you need to get it naturally. There are estrogens in our waters. It's in the plastics. That you need testosterone because testosterone levels are dropping so quickly. How do you get it, though? Should you run down to that clinic on the corner and get a shot in your arm? Do you think that's healthy? Or do you think you should go natural? Chalk is natural herbal supplements, natural ones. They have male vitality stacks for men, female vitality stacks for ladies, but they have so much more than that. Maybe you're not worried about that. Maybe you have other things you're working on. Go see what they have at chalk.com. When you get a subscription and use the promo code Jesse, 35% off. Isn't that ridiculous? Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is time to lighten the mood. We're going to lightheartedly poke a little fun at Doug Burgum from last night. Before we get to Doug, let's do this. Let's talk about the timeshare you got. And I know how it went. You went to the seminar, and you got a timeshare, and you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it. But eventually, you want out. You're done with it. The kids move away, get tired of it, whatever. You don't can't afford it anymore, so you think you can get out, but then they tell you, no, sorry, you're not allowed out. Sorry, you have to stay and keep paying for this forever. And you think, oh, shoot, I'm screwed. I'm done. But that's because you haven't called Lone Star Transfer yet. Lone Star Transfer will get you out, legally and permanently out. They will put it in writing. They put the guarantee in writing. They even give you a time frame. 99%. That's how successful they are. 99% of the time they get you out. Make a phone call. 844-310-2646. There's nothing they've told you that Lone Star Transfer hasn't heard before. 844-310-2646. All right. Doug Burgum. No one even knows who he is. No one knows why he's there. You should know that one of the only reasons he was on the stage last night is you have to have a donor threshold, right? You have to have so many donors. He paid people to donate to his campaign so he would have more donors to get himself on the stage. So in case you're wondering, hey, why is there no Asa Hutchinson but Doug Burgum is here? Well, that's why. And look, he didn't have a bad night, but he can't help who he is.
We have all these questions. We're going to get to you. We're going to come back to you. No, there's a lot of time.
Child care, nobody answered the question.
Sir, we will get you some questions, but you're going to have to let us move on. We are going to the border next.
Child care is workforce infrastructure.
Governor Haley, reaction to that, please.
The only person who's leading an energy state, could I answer the energy question?
No, Governor Haley.
Stewart, can we get back to the question?
No, we cannot.
The question is on
technology. Governor DeSantis, I'm going straight.
There's one person on this stage that has a current technology.
Sir, we will have to cut your mic, and I don't want to do that. I don't.
He just kept trying to talk. And they were like, yeah, dog, anyway, we got to move on. I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.